Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I give you the color commentary and the play-by-play on my family Thanksgiving. I'll bet it was just like yours. Remember, tune into our website, LarryMillerPodcast.com, and we'll see you here.
Today's Adam and Dr. Drew Show is sponsored by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. For a free life insurance quote today, call 1-866-347-5748 or visit their website at smartterm.com. They'll compare premiums of highly rated insurers to help you save. Call now, 866-347-5748. Licensing and disclaimer information we found at smartterm.com.
Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours. Theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Thank you so much for telling a friend and sharing the show with a friend. We rely on you. Good day, Dr. Drew.
Good day, sir.
That's not good day. No, that's good day.
Good day, sir.
No, but I had a thought, a couple thoughts.
Really? I have a bunch of thoughts.
Chris Maxpada.
Hey, look at him.
Over
just,
there.
Just take a gander. You see anything interesting?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, okay. We'll get to that. Right. Tell you a little story about Sonny and my girl. Also, I was just looking at you, answering tweets, doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
I find myself all the time with people where they got their phone on them and they're going at it.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting in the studio and I'm doing a show.
Yeah.
And I go, my first impulse is, why do you need to go at it? And I don't need to go at it. And then my second impulse is, well, there's something. They're connected.
They're connected.
They're doing something. And then I realize, wait a minute, they're not more necessarily in whatever, like whatever. Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Why?
When
you should be able to do it as well as anybody.
When I do a show, I leave my phone outside of the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
Because somebody goes, well, what if there's a problem? Like, what if there's an issue? What if there's an emergency? And I go, well, if my wife called, I'd call her back after the show. I wouldn't know what it was about.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
No, I do. And what I was just doing was tweeting, and that I would never do during a show.
But you have it for HLN stuff?
No, for my office. I have patient shit coming through here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all email stuff that I have to do in real time. I do it when I'm on the television. I do it commercial breaks.
Television?
Yeah,
I'm checking.
I check it all through the show, too.
Well, but then there's others. I just feel like people.
Well, I know my wife was ADD. Literally this morning, I went. She goes something like, hey, there's a good deal in Southwest Airlines. I go, well, what's the deal? What's the deal?
She's What's the deal? At her phone.
What's the deal?
Uh-huh.
I said it like nine times, and then she's mad at me. I said, look, you started a conversation, and then you dug into the phone.
Yeah.
What the hell do you want me to do?
The fuck? No, here's what I'm saying. Yeah, this has become a device for us to all just sort of tune out, check out. Drew, I do believe, for the most part, you can multitask. For the most part, I can multitask. That's about it. Most people that claim they can read their emails and answer texts and be tuned into your conversation are liars. They don't understand it. Now, they have the ability to parrot back what you just said, your last five words, but that does not mean they're engaged in any way.
I know for sure I'm not as engaged as on it as when I'm checking.
But can I say this? Can I have this policy, and you guys tell me what you think of this.
You guys.
No, you.
Me. Okay.
Chris Maxpada, it's his birthday.
Okay, we'll get an input from him, too.
This guy, Chris. No, what I'm saying is this. I do a thing of a sort of a, do I bring my phone into this movie theater? because yeah. I examine the upside and the downside. I'm with my wife. She has her phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So if there's an emergency, then the nanny's going to hit her. Me, I'm going to get three fucking calls from Ray about nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it could slide out of my sweatpants or my jacket or my sweater and fall behind the seat. Could break or I could lose it or whatever. It could go off. I leave it in the car because yeah. I literally just go, for the 97 minutes I'm going to be gone from this car, what am I going to use this device for? A, I'm going to have to tote it with me. I'm just physically going to have to bring it. B, there's a chance it could get dropped or stolen or fall or whatever, lose. Oh, and then I could get humiliated by it going off or vibrating or whatever, making a. So I just go, I'm leaving it in the car. And I do a lot of, it's kind of a version of you putting your keys in the refrigerator by your hard-boiled eggs and carrots. It's a, let's look down the road. Like, it's the sunglasses rule.
Yeah.
Same rule with the sunglasses. Going to see a movie, Arclight Theater, it's 5:30 in the evening. We're parked subterranean. So the only sunlight I'm going to encounter is as I exit the subterranean parking for the 80-foot walk to the front door, probably hit by shade cast by the tall building next to it.
Yeah.
Sunglasses?
No.
Not coming into theater with me.
Right.
Because I'm going to leave. It's going to be dark.
Yeah.
No upside.
Right.
Now I'm going to have my sunglasses, my cell phone, whatever. I do that with many. I do that with things in my car all the time. Sometimes my wallet. I go, why am I bringing it in? I don't need it. It'll be waiting for me out here. I understand there is a theft part of it. I don't say leave it on the roof of your car. Sometimes you can tuck it out of sight. But in general, Drew.
Yeah.
A general assessment.
Yeah, yeah.
Of what do I need this for, and what's the upside? Potential and downside potential. I don't feel like most Americans sort of weigh that.
Whether it's
savings or putting a helmet on or like whatever it is. It just I don't feel like there's much in that thought.
I think we had this conversation a week or so ago about effortful control by attention. Remember that conversation?
Yeah.
And this is that same phenomenon. We don't have a lot of effortful control. It goes into the other realm of impulsivity and making stupid choices and all this shit that goes on all the time now.
Yes.
And effortful control is back to parenting.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that starts. It's going up to your child and going, hey, look here. Hey. Listen, Sonny, next time I want you to put that ball away. Got it? You hearing me? And that moment of focus of you focusing on him, him focusing on you, how you build that.
Well, speaking of Sonny, I was...
And by the way, I have not been able to go to an underground theater for years because I have to have a beeper or a phone with me. It's been that way for 30 years.
Underground theater. I have to watch German porn?
No.
You mean subterranean parking?
No, there's a theater in Pasadena that's underground in Old Town. It's a big airplane.
Oh, the comfortable one.
Yeah, and I have to really like
the
if
one
I'm
you
gonna,
can order.
Yeah,
but you get no reception in there.
Right. So if I'm going to go there, it has to be carefully orchestrated. I can't just go do that.
I'd say, Drew.
Yeah.
At the risk of sounding disrespectful,
that I could pull it off.
There's more of that you could do, but you there's a lot of not allowing yourself. You know, there's a lot of
super compulsive.
Well, I don't even call it compulsive, but there's a bit of martyrdom there. Like, I can't leave the house because, you know, you probably could. Not all the time. Your job has requirements.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of guys who do your job who play a lot of golf, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They figure out a way to play a lot of golf.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
You'll never let yourself do that.
Right.
Understood. But there are many doctors who play many rounds of golf. So, Gary's dad. Is one of them.
Surgeons.
There's guys who figure out a way to do stuff. And you and I, and I'm the same way too. I go, I could never do that. I always have to be there. I could never go a weekend without working. But you could.
Right.
There's part of it is your life, and then part is a choice.
Yeah, compulsive. Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
like I said, I don't look as compulsive.
I want to hear the story.
I walked in.
Flawed. Flawed, better? It's a better word.
Yes. Okay. I walked in. There's an element of. There's a little martyr.
Flawed.
And a little drama. I walked in to the house last night, and Sonny and my wife were sitting on the floor and leaning against the sofa. They're both a heap of tears.
Uh-oh.
Because they were going through a yearbook, I shouldn't call it a yearbook, a photo album that had pictures of them when they were kids, and then they were reading the note to Nana, the note that was read at Nana's funeral about you know, the part about the two grandchildren and, you know, buried with a picture of them and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
This is your grandmother.
This is not my grandmother.
Well, this is your wife's mother.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. My grandmother would never go for Nana, by the way.
I was going to say I was confused. It was a little confusing. A Corolla with emotion was...
She was called Helen by my mother for 91 years. Helen. My mom would walk in and say, good evening, Helen. And I...
By the way, that was a 60s thing.
No, no.
That was a big thing.
No,
she was avant-garde. She was ahead of the pack.
No. No, no, no. No, no. Remember that my mom was not raised by Helen.
Right.
She was raised by Helen's parents, and I don't think she knew her as mother.
Yeah.
She knew her as Aunt Helen or something like that, so she called her Helen at the beginning part of her life. The later stages of her life, I don't think she wanted to give her the satisfaction of calling her mom.
All right.
So she called her Helen because it was a colder...
So it was your mom's decision, mom's input.
Well, again, in the...
I would argue even if she were mom, she'd be insisting that she'd be called Helen.
The pantheon... No, no, no. The pantheon of Corolla weirdness, you know, like sort of like when I said...
Oh, that'd be a great museum.
Super. Yeah. It's like, hey, man, I need to snap out of my funk. I'm going to go to the Holocaust Museum next door. See if I can shake this.
The Pantheon. The Pantheon of Corolla weirdness.
I got to shake these blues off. I'm going to the Holocaust Museum. They got better vending machines. And I don't want to tell you what those wax mold injection machines are doing over there.
At the Corolla weirdness?
No, at the...
Holocaust.
So I said... well, as I've said. So I've said to my dad, you know, why no middle name for me? And he just went, yeah, I don't know. And then I said to my mom, why no middle name? And she went, I don't know. Did you ask your dad? And I thought, wow, that's a weird, you know.
That'll be interactive exhibit at the Corolla Weirdness Museum.
But I thought it was a great example I thought it captured everything.
Yeah.
Which is, huh?
Yeah, so people get to experience the fully engage in the Corolla experience.
You could press
push here.
Go ahead. Press the middle button, Drew.
This is for Corolla father. Pushed.
Well, you have to ask a question.
Okay. So, Dad, why no middle name?
You want to try it again?
Dad, why no middle name?
I don't know.
Shudder. Wait, let's try the grandma. Helen, why didn't you encourage your daughter to give me a middle name?
Who?
Mom, it's got to be a better response. Hey, kids, get over here. Get over. You got to see this. Mom. Mom, why didn't you think to give me a middle name?
Did you ask your dad? Thank you.
Let's go next exhibit. I'm depressed.
Anyway, in a nutshell,
should we be sponsored by Prozac?
Yeah. The Corolla's are just like, what? Why waste calories on it? I don't know what their answer is. They have no answer. But this one just is depressing. So I said to my grandmother, later in her life, I tried to tug on the frayed yarn of her sweater to see if I could get something to unravel a little bit.
Yeah.
I said, your daughter calling you Helen all the time.
Oh, you addressed this. Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Seems weird.
Touche, well, sir.
She was like, yeah. I'm like, you know, just in front of other people and stuff, you know, not calling your mom. I would pay my daughter to call me dad in front of other people.
Yes.
Say you get a dollar every time you say it in front. You know, when we're alone, call me whatever you like. Call me douchebag. But with people, so it doesn't seem weird and we don't seem stilted and, you know, distant and all that. Just call me mom. Extra tip, you call me mommy or mommy dearest. But she was sort of like, yeah, no, why? And I thought, because it seems kind of cold and weird and distant, you know? And she's like, I never thought about it. But again, as I've said many times, boyfriend, sorry, Freudian slip, brother shot himself in the head in the house they moved into. And when I gave that to my grandma, it was a little bit weird moving in after Robert killed himself in the, you know, 900-square-foot house in the valley. No? Why?
Oof.
You know, like, well, your brother killed himself in the, yeah, but he's dead. I mean, it's not like we didn't leave his body in there. And, like, what room was it? It was your grandfather's office. I mean, now it's your grandfather's office. Anything about that? No.
No feelings.
And when I said, you know, she kept saying, why? And I said, well, you know, in California law,
yeah,
you have to divulge that kind of stuff if it's in 3 or 4 years. And she went, are you kidding me? And I said, no. If someone kills themselves in the house, you know, last month, and they're going to sell it, they have to divulge it.
That'll be a diorama at the
That'll be a diorama. Museum, yeah. That's right. And she's like, why? And I'm like,
I can see her.
She's emphatic. And I said, because that means something to some people. And she's like, I don't get it. I was like, okay, awesome. So I walked in and...
they're crying.
Yes, Sonny had the lip out. You know, the lip comes out. He was a heap of tears. Mama was a heap of tears because they were reading the letter that was read at the funeral that, you know, for really the grandma they never knew.
But to be fair, he's probably reacting into Lynette.
Yeah.
That's probably what he was upset.
Yeah, yeah. He heard about them. Yeah, yeah. Natalia was jumping up and down and laughing and making fun of both of them for being pussies, essentially. Like, she was laughing and laughing at them.
You know, I didn't get the full effect of her until I brought my dog over. That was where I understood.
Then she jumped on me and started riding me, yes, you know, like a horse and screaming at me. But the more...
Ooh.
Yeah, woo! Woo!
Banshee.
The more Lynette and my son sobbed, the more she made fun of both of them.
You should be proud. She's carrying the Corolla Crucible proudly.
Yeah.
She'll be at the end of the exhibit. She'll be there to do interviews.
I just thought it was, pretty good stuff.
I've got to put this museum together. I can see it. I see it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to buy another warehouse. We're going to turn it into a Corolla
horror/weirdness
museum.
All right. So it's Chris Maxpata's birthday.
Yeah, look at him. Take a look. Yeah. He's looking a little better than the last 10 minutes.
He had an event that I'm going to tonight that involved free food.
He did that last night or he's going tonight?
Well, it's tonight. It involves free food. So I thought Chris would be there, but then Chris said he can't. But there's other free food involved. Right. You've replaced my free food with someone else's.
His friends
are going to
buy
a
birthday gift. Yeah.
Still a win-win.
Right. So you're getting taken out to dinner somewhere?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure the exact plans. But
there's free food.
Yeah.
Well, I came in this morning.
That's how I knew.
I came in this morning accused him of being high.
Really?
Oh. Eyes squinty, red, bloodshot. Barely could talk to me.
I don't get high.
Right. And he's better now. Mm-hmm. He's better. Look, a little color in his cheeks. But what do you figure was causing that strange appearance? And I said, well, you're high or you're tired. He goes, I'm not tired. Then a story emerged.
Story.
A birthday story.
Birthday story?
Not really.
Celebrated last night and tonight?
That's what I wonder.
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what happened?
I was working hard.
What are we doing? Are we doing our the next half of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, I slept here.
You slept here?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So then we started...
Why did you sleep?
Hold on a second. Then we started taking odds on what your reaction would be to that.
Okay.
Pissed? Impressed?
I've done it before.
Negative. Nothing.
Here's the thing.
I was shocked to hear Matt's never done that before. I've done that.
Gary trying to ring in and impress you too.
No.
So are you impressed when your employees work so goddamn hard that they have to spend the night in the office? No. Okay.
No. Well, here's the way I look at this job, and there's a couple of things. First off, why would I be pissed?
Because you don't like people in your shop, unless without your sort of knowledge.
I turned all the lights off.
I'm just saying.
No, that could piss them off.
You never know.
That's not true. You want to know what the truth is? I don't have the keys to either one of my shops.
I know, but were you?
You know that? I can't get into my shop. I can't get
into
my shop unless I call somebody to meet me here, like on the weekend and stuff.
All right,
this shop that we're sitting in, I've not had the keys for it or any control over it for a decade.
All right, so
I bought it 10 years ago and I've never had the keys, a set of keys for it.
I get it.
I mean, it's on and off kind of thing. It's not like I can't get in, but if I want to come here on a Saturday and I need to get something, I have to call Rob and coordinate for him to come let me in.
All right. So he's not mad, Chris. Good.
No.
Check that off the list.
I'm not even here 3/4 of the time everyone's here, number one. Number two, I like the I'm assuming got too high or drunk to drive himself.
That's what I was thinking.
I don't know
why
you don't drive yourself home. But the
he says it was work.
Okay, here's the thing about this job. This job, I've done much of that back in the day. I never slept at a job, but I didn't have a job to sleep at. But I've worked cabinet shops all night and stuff, like done a lot of all-nighter stuff, like rebuilding a gym. I used to listen to you on Loveline when I was rebuilding a gym.
Strangely, a gym that I worked out at, that downstairs gym in that old office building.
That was later. This was before that in Pasadena. This was in the West Side, where the gym would close at 10 o'clock at night and open at 6 a.m., and I had to work doing the work that I need to do from those hours. So I'd go through the work all through the night, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I've done a ton of weird shit, weird hour shit like
that.
No,
me too. And,
yeah, you too. So I don't mind it. I like it. You know, here's the way I look at this job and a lot of jobs, which is this job is plenty of free cake and free booze and free pie and free everything and some fun travel and some partying and some experiences young men especially would enjoy. Getting to go to New York and getting to have drinks with this guy or that guy, getting to go out to dinner and, like, you know, just basic fun, I would say, compared to your basic job that your average 25-year-old would have.
Yeah.
or whatever. I don't have any idea how old these fucking guys are. Going to Leno's shop. There you go. How many people in there? You know, look, you work for a fucking travel agency in Des Moines. You don't get to go to Leno's shop but twice a year. Maybe less. Maybe once.
Wow.
I don't know. Getting to tag along on a lot of cool events and go to the Quail Lodge and for Pebble Beach and blah, 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 blah. So on the, rare instance when you have to
push,
pay the piper,
yeah, all right.
I'm completely cool with
you're
that.
You're good with it. All right.
Because all the other perks, it sort of balance it out.
Here's what's unexpected, Chris. It's not mad, not nothing, not neutral, not impressed, but sort of in towards good.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you should.
I like.
Lap that up now.
I like the, if you're here burning the midnight oil, I like it, and I'm impressed. The reason I don't do the, but you tell me, Drew.
Hmm.
I don't do the tit for tat thing. Like, I don't try to keep score. But I don't try to keep score in a way that favors myself either. Like,
right.
I don't go, you went to the Quail. That's a $400 ticket. You owe me, son.
Yeah.
I don't do that part of it.
No. Right.
But then if you come and burn the midnight oil and stay here, you don't get that part of it either. It's just going to be one big balance of, I'm assuming there's some burning of the midnight oil. I also know there's some nice big freebie meals and trips to Leno's Garage. So it'll come out in the balance. Right. And as a matter of fact, the balance will be better on the free meals
in
the
Leno's
Garage.
I think, Chris, that was his way of saying happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. And there was going to be more free meals tonight.
Oh.
But.
He'll pass.
He's passed.
Well, speaking of impressed, never cease to be impressed by our friends at Stamps.com.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Holiday is almost upon us, guys.
Wow, yeah.
No time to go to the post office, and it's busy there.
Ooh.
Hopefully maybe a little less busy because people are using Stamps.com.
It'd be nice.
I suggest.
Well, what do we care? It's academic. We're not going.
Because we use Stamps.
That's right.
Stamps.com. Buy, print, official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. It's easy, convenient. The mailman just picks it all up. Special offer. Use promo code ADS for a no-risk trial. $110 bonus includes a digital scale to weigh your package. And then print up the appropriate postage and send it on off. And $55 of free postage in addition to that. So whatever you put on that package is going to be for free.
Mm-hmm.
Go to stamps.com. And before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS, that is stamps.com, promo code ADS.
All right. We got lots of good questions
lining
up. Talk to twins about sex. We got to marriage and cheating and vasectomy. Gail's an interesting question. You want to know the Sonny story? I already told the Sonny story, Gary.
It was so interesting.
Well, no, I was saying
he
was crying.
Yeah, I got it.
All right. That's right.
It was really a Natalia story, to be fair. It was how she's going to be the denouement of the Corolla Weirdness Museum.
Yeah, she was mocking my daughter, but especially my son, for laughing. And then I think, assuming the role of the one who doesn't cry, so overdoing it now.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't neutral about it. She was openly mocking them and then screaming at me and jumping on top of me and laughing at Sonny's face. And Sonny, by the way, doesn't care. I mean, he wasn't trying to hold the tears back. He had the big lip sticking out and tears just rolling down his cheeks. All right, Gail.
Hello.
Hi, Gail.
What's going on?
Hi. Well, I have a parent-child relationship. It's my adult child, she's 20, that's dissolving. She is involved with the white supremacist skinheads, and I just want to know if this is a lost hope that she'll ever be able to get out of this kind of...
Wait a minute. Why is she, other than maybe...
Dad,
or trying to piss you off. You know, women oftentimes will just be attracted to whoever they think they're going to piss mom off the most, or dad off the most.
Well, or act out a leftover piece of dad, so dad's business.
Yeah, she's been acting out, well, since she was like two. Yeah. The pediatrician used to always say...
Did she laugh at you if you cried about your mother's funeral?
No.
It's
not that bad.
Okay.
No.
Pediatrician said what?
She said, I wonder what this kid's going to grow up to be.
Oh.
I mean, all throughout her pediatric years.
Yeah.
And she ended up being a drug addict, running away from home.
That's probably
code
for that.
In a juvenile hall.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. And she's now, I thought the bottom was when she tattooed her face.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
But then, about a year ago, I found out that she's with this... The skinheads.
Mm. What's your face tattoo?
It said misunderstood across her forehead.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she, I guess from the probation officer, told me that he saw her in jail one day, and she had a swastika on her forehead. On her forehead.
Nice job.
And then she had it like scribbled off. So now she has this big blob going across her forehead down the side of her face. Like Mike Tyson. It's like, I don't know anybody else with tattoos on their face except him.
Uh-huh. All right. And
she's a really cute girl, and it's just awful. It's awful.
All right. So my heart breaks for you, but let's get with the dad. What's going on with the biological dad here?
Yeah, he's not in the picture. She won't have anything to do with him.
Did he do anything to her?
No. We were divorced when she was six, and she went to see him every other weekend. He came to all her sporting events and all her events. He was a part of her life until she started, when she was like 16, started running away.
Running away, though, suggests abuse. So was somebody abusing her?
Not that I know of, no.
All right, hold on. Let me talk to Drew. We've always been a big belief in nurture, but I'm really starting to take the nature path.
There's both. No, there is
this
both.
This one had, you know, this one's got a motor in her. Now, obviously, you know, what people do is you think to yourself, look, it's sort of like the assholes that are communists, you know. Or communists, or they're into Adolf Hitler, or whatever it is. And you go, are you really into that? I mean, if you really break down what it's about, what the movement's about, what the dude was about, like, are you into it, or are you into what society would be least into around you?
Right. How it makes people react.
Right, especially poor mama.
Yeah.
And dad.
And
as
by
well,
the way, so. People that were into it at the time, back in Germany, were sort of into rebuilding the economy and things. They weren't into...
This
putting
is into,
people in ovens. That's, yeah, back, that's what back, happened as a result
back
of this thing.
Back to dear old grandma. Dear old grandma, my grandma was into the communist thing. And she wasn't into it for any other reason other than to rebel.
Yeah, if you brought up Stalin to her, would she just ignore it?
Where do these things end up? It's the assholes with the Che Guevara shirt on. Like, they don't really know what they're doing. They're just into rebelling.
What it means,
they don't
know the symbolism. Yes, I agree.
No one's done their research. But the point is, there's a modern version of that, which is all the feminists that aren't crying out against the Muslim community and what they're doing to their women. It's a sort of, it's a hypocrite. It's a hypocritical stance, really, if you think about it.
It's hypocrisy, but it's also just symbol. It's a symbolic stance.
Okay. So she's, I'm guessing, not into whatever Eichmann was into.
Right.
She's just into telling everyone to fuck off.
Well, just like Charles Manson has a swastika on his forehead.
I mean, right.
You think because he's a sophisticated philosopher? No.
Part of it.
Yeah. So here's, Gail, here's the problem. If this were just somebody that got lost in a weird movement, I would recommend a deprogramming. There's actually a guy named Rick Ross, you can find him online, that does deprogramming of people in coercive and controlling relationships. The problem here is that this sounds psychiatrically profound.
What kind of relationship do you have with her?
I talk to her about once a week, and I really tried to just keep it, you know, hey, how are you doing?
How old is she now?
20. She's young.
Yeah, what you have to try to do with her, I believe, is, you know, you sound like a pretty on top of it parent and a decent person. You know, she's a product of divorce, so is everyone else. Dad seemed like he attempted to stay in her life.
But who knows, maybe something happened there.
We there's nothing that happened to her that you're aware of involving weirdo stepdad or drunken biker friend of dad's or something like that.
No.
There might be a little perfect storm brewing here, Drew, of
a
lot of nature.
Yeah, yeah.
And a little bit of nurture,
enough
to send her off in this direction, and it happens on occasion. My thing with her is weather the storm.
Oh.
And what I'm saying is this. She can't have kids.
Oh, yeah.
What she can do is she can weather the storm, because I don't think she's quite – she's not unintelligent.
She's a drug addict, criminal, sociopath, self-destructive.
She's not stupid at all. When she left high school, she was 4.0, number one in her class.
Okay.
What about
she
the drug
her
addiction?
Senior year.
What about
so let's
drug?
Talk about the drug.
What's going on with the drugs?
That I know of, meth,
uh-oh.
Pot.
Yeah, you see?
Yeah.
And she's been diagnosed bipolar.
Right. So
she's been in psychiatric care since she was a really little kid. And she was like 3-4.
How's a 4.0 happen in high school? I fucking busted my ass for a 1.7.
And she never busted her ass. She would do all of her work. She had ADHD, too, diagnosed in second grade. Yeah. She would do all her work before the teacher even told everybody what the paper was.
I'm with Drew and the psychiatric stuff and the drug stuff, but I'm still with me in that if somehow she hits her 30th birthday and she has three kids, it's going to be a fucking disaster.
Because now you have four people in trouble.
Right.
Right.
So,
no, I agree.
For me,
I just don't know what to do as a parent. I mean,
well,
you know, I've backed up. Because I can't emotionally get involved. Yeah.
What's going on with Daddy?
Bringing me down.
What's going on with Daddy?
Can he get involved?
No. Yeah.
Why?
No, he's on his fourth wife, and he has his own family.
So he's bipolar also.
Oh.
Yeah, he was a depressed man.
But he's bipolar.
He could be. I don't
on
know.
His fourth wife with his new family, you know.
Yeah,
like,
and he doesn't have time for her. She's crazy and
well, but there's an element of the first daughter didn't work out so well. Let's start a new daughter and move to Florida.
Unless he's cultivating daughters for a particular purpose.
He's not involved with it. It's me, and it's always been
no.
Me
I know, but you painted a picture of him that was a little more flattering than maybe
is the truth.
Well, he was there for a while until like 16, and then he was. Gone because she
how many
was gone
marriages did he have between the age of her age 6 and 16? How many marriages did he have there?
Two. I
two
was
marriages.
Second. And then he had two more.
Four marriages by the time his second family's daughter is 16. Come on.
Uh-huh.
That's insanity.
I concur.
Yeah, me too.
Part of me's jealous. But I still agree. So, look.
Anyways.
All right, what kind of resources do you have? Do you have any money? Do you have any connections?
Do you have insurance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I work at UC Davis.
Go Aggies.
Insurance. Go Aggies. She's been
recruited to play ball.
She's left rehab twice. I've set her up in rehab a couple times. She left the first time after five hours, the second time after a week.
Maybe she could add another week. Look, here's the thing.
I know. And now she's in and out of jail. She was in juvenile hall a few times.
The meth and the Nazi thing kind of go together. That part scares me a lot. You know.
Where do I get resources on for parents on when your kids are in these kind of groups?
Okay, Rick Ross. Look up Rick Ross online.
Okay, Rick Ross.
He's got a huge website about these kinds of cults and course of relationships, things you can do. He's got just tons of resources. And there's not a lot you can do, unfortunately, unless you try to deprogramming.
There's also a website called hobohit.com where you pay drifters. I broker the deal, and they just take them out. You're like, fuck it. Shake that Etch-a-Sketch. Get on with your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Before you have some skinhead grandkids.
Oh God, yeah.
I know if you start coming at her, she's like a feral cat. She's going to scurry over the fence.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you need,
exactly.
For me at this point, and I don't know if she would listen to this part of it, but I would just beg her to be on birth control, and I would tell her I will pay for it.
Put an implant in.
Whatever.
Yeah. She has insurance with me, but she won't use the insurance. I don't know if she's had drug ODs or not, but Adam's point is the emergency room.
Adam's point is well taken. Get a birth control, a hormonal implant that gives her continuous coverage for the next 5 years, so at least we get through that window.
Yes. All right. Ooh. 5 years? You get 5 years out of
it? I think they have a five-year one now, yeah.
Wow.
I think they do.
It's the size of a hubcap.
Yeah.
Goes in the small of your back.
Yeah, in the back, yeah. And then you put a tattoo over it. See those tattoos, those stamps back there? Under that?
Yeah, tramp stamp.
Under that is these birth control.
Oh, man. What the hell, Drew?
What?
That's so sad.
I know.
What the fuck you do?
Well.
I mean.
But for the grace of God, there go on. You know what I'm saying?
Really? I mean, your daughter's got, she's got a motor in her butt.
She's good.
She's good.
She's good. Yeah,
she's got a motor. Now my daughter's got a motor. I don't know what the. Oof. I mean, I'm gonna have to start putting something in their food or something. Like, I'm gonna start drugging them or something.
Them?
No. The boy's fine. It's got a motor, you know. And you know the thing about the motor. The motor is it's not good and it's not evil. It's a gun. Who's holding it?
Right.
That's the question. You got a cop or gangbanger holding
it.
You know, right now she's giving her over to a gangbanger, essentially. I'm always dumbstruck. Oh, she was straight A's in high school. Could that be? Can it be? I don't know. How is it that nobody I knew who was a straight A student and
was a fuck up?
They all just went off to Berkeley and now they're attorneys. Like, they're,
yeah.
Who was? I didn't have any. Oh, that guy was a straight A student. Then he dropped out and started doing drugs.
Yeah.
Did you have any of those?
No.
I had guys who, sure, that guy had some potential if only he had gone this route. But I didn't have any straight A's straight through.
And I have people who will one semester all of a sudden get straight A's. You know, they sort of show, they get it together for a while and they show their intellect and then poof, goes back down again.
All right.
Weird.
Somebody's trying to cheat on his wife. John?
that makes you sound like I'm some kind of pariah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but for the last couple years, and this is before my wife, who is now pregnant.
First child?
Excuse me?
First child?
Yes.
Okay.
And we've been together before marriage and marriage combined about 7 years. You know, I moved back home and I started hanging out with my friends more and we started going out and more than one of them is single and I started kind of enjoying through them, living through their singleness. I kind of, you know, stayed out late, flirt with girls. And then I got into this mode where I would start like really going after girls and like getting their numbers and you know, seducing them in such a way, but I never actually went through with it until recently.
Uh-oh.
And I guess that they're not going through with it, I guess, is kind of a problem just to begin with. So I don't know if I want to know why this is, why I'm doing this, or what I should do.
Just make sure we're clear on what has happened here. You did go through with something, or you did not?
Oh, recently, I kissed another woman.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's not, I would be relieved if I was your wife and you said, you know, I did go through with it and then found out it was kissing. But
that's why a good strategy, by the way. It's like, Mom, Dad, I have AIDS.
That's right.
Nope. It's actually, I'm gay. It's fine.
Yeah.
Just go for something more severe and then give them something that relieves
reel
them.
Reel it in. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's try to think this through. Did you get this shit out of your system when you were in your early 20s? Did you have a chance?
We kind of got together like 6 months after I graduated college.
So you did you? But that's did you?
I got plenty out in college.
Did you really do this life, this single life as you're living it now? Did you have a chance to do that when you were younger?
No.
Yeah,
I mean,
see,
not with disposable income. No.
You would agree with me, Adam, right? The guys need to do that, don't you think?
I mean, if this ever got back to my wife, that would be my first argument. I don't know if it would really hold water. But
No. You, my point was you needed to have done it. And when guys don't do it, it's a problem. It leaves a lingering effect.
Now,
if it doesn't come out in his 30s, it comes out in his 40s and 50s, even worse.
Here's what happens. Some guys are wired this way. Some guys aren't. Most guys are wired this way.
Yeah.
Occasionally, there's the guy who met his high school sweetheart, and that's just the way he likes
it.
You know,
it's rare.
Yeah. A bigger problem, honestly, a bigger problem is station in life.
No, I understand. So guys don't have that opportunity to do what they want to do.
Right. Like, when's the last time you had, you know, I mean, back in the day, you know, I didn't have any money in my pocket. I was driving a piece of shit pickup truck. And if I needed to bring a lady home, I'd have to ask my two roommates in my one-bedroom apartment to clear out. You know, like, forget about House on the Hill and a Jag. You know, so this notion of these guys, you know, it's funny. I had this thought. We were talking about it a few weeks back on my show. That the porn star Jenna Jameson is, you know, she's thinking about coming out of retirement and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. All right. Drew's got a puss on, but I'm with you. But here's the thing. Dig. There was a time.
This is going to be the opening monologue of the Weirdness Museum.
Not too long ago.
Narrated by Mr. Crowley himself.
When
we stand in a big room and everyone listened to his voice booming through.
I discovered Jenna Jameson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you kind of did.
But, you know, she was my little pet on the Kevin and Bean show circa 1995.
She came on Loveline like 97, remember?
Yeah.
And sent me flowers after.
She sent flowers, which got your old lady a little pissed at you. But the point is this. I had her on Kevin and Bean, and I was fucking around with her, and I was as Mr. Birch and my character, whatever. But the point is this. There was a time when Jenna Jameson, I don't know, Gary, you have to find out how old she is now, but there was a time when a smoking hot, she's 39. All right. There was a smoking hot Jenna Jameson. Now this
22,
would have
22, 24, something like that.
Yeah, this. Yeah. Well, this would have been almost 20 years ago.
Ooh, 19.
I mean, no. Let's say it'd be 95. Could have been 96. But
just
anyway,
give her 21. She's 21.
21-year-old, hot. You know, dating rock stars and making lots of money. Jenna Jameson was walking through the corridors and through the office and stuff and whatnot of K-Rock. And at some point, inevitably, she had to go wait, you know, while they're playing a Tears for Fears song, and she had to go stand in Frank Murphy's office, you know, and said, look, you'll come out, you know, well, as soon as this song's wrapped up, you go in there. And at some point, she looked over to the right, and she saw a schlubby Jimmy Kimmel sitting there typing away on some Commodore 60-something, trying to get his news ready, and just thought, how much would you have to pay me to date that dude?
Or knowing who she really was, she probably just didn't notice.
Yeah.
Just didn't even register.
Another schlubby guy over there with a crappy job, banging away on a typewriter, doing local sports.
Right.
Then I thought, now look at Jimmy. Think about Jimmy now. Slimmed down, still looks good, got all his hair, making millions of bucks and everything. And she's had all the plastic surgery and is trying to had a couple kids and is trying to come back. And I think, look at how that
crosses.
What society does, and just how big a swing there was. I mean, it's a weird thing that she would go from, if I pointed her out and said, that guy Jimmy over there, you know, he's making $57,000 a year and he's on the upswing, you know. And with the right diet and, you know, exercise regimen, she would have been like, are you fucking nuts?
Like,
I'm dating half the guys on the Lakers, yeah. You know what I mean? Well, now look at this chasm.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was thinking about it.
Well, it's fascinating. It goes to John's point, too, which is that now he's got position. And mm-hmm. so now he's got game because he's got position and he can do all this stuff that he couldn't do when he was 24.
Right. And what a lot of women don't realize is a lot of these guys, and I'm not saying it's John, but a lot of these guys spend the early part of their lives having the shit kicked out of them by life, women, bosses, and everything else. And then all of a sudden they find themselves with the keys of a Lexus in their hand and a cool condo. And they go, fucking take advantage of this.
And a little bit of a score to settle, too. Is there some time to make an
element of I've got to make up for something that I never got.
Let's have an uncomfortable conversation here.
Yes.
Because both of us left our respective wives for periods of time for this reason, truth be known, just to have our, you know, we had some status and it's like, I'm not done. I don't know. I'm not ready for marriage. I'm just not done. I don't know what the hell it means. I don't know who the F I am in the world.
Right.
We went out, did our thing.
Right.
And then we were fine. At a certain point, it gets gross, too.
Right.
You go too far down that path with your Lexus. And it's
about anal?
Yeah. That's you and I, though. You go too far down the path, it gets like disgust. It gets douchebaggery at a certain point.
It depends how you're wired. If you're wired like David Spade, it never gets old.
Right.
You know.
But that's kind of that's not pretty.
If you're wired like my guy went to high school with who's still married to the girl he went to high school with, then there's never really anything in it for you that
but
way.
I but would
if
argue.
If you're wired like an average guy,
yeah.
I think you're saying...
I'd argue that if we hadn't done what we did, it would affect our marriage, our well-being, our ability to be...
Yeah.
We'd be like John.
No, look, it's probably relationships in a way no different than a job in the sense that you want to go out and have some different experiences, so you sort of know the one that you want. And even if the person you're with and the mother of your children was always the perfect one for you,
yes,
you wouldn't know it.
Yes.
There'd always be something gnawing in the back of your mind.
That's exactly right.
But you can go out and verify it by being with the wrong person a few times
just
and
like
then
the
coming
wrong
back
jobs,
home again.
The wrong job. But the point, John, it's too late. I would say it's okay that he's flirted with literally and figuratively with this phenomenon, but that's it. He's got a child coming. It's game on. That's it. He has relinquished the privilege, the right. It's just not okay at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's not as though, John, you got to go finish this off now. She's pregnant. You know, she won't notice.
Well,
no.
Also, you know, there's also a couple wirings. It's like, I've had a cat that would – all cats want to go after a mouse. They see a mouse. They see something, catches their eye.
Yeah.
Grasshopper. Whatever. A mouse. Something fluttering around in the bushes. They want to go after it.
They hunt.
I've had cats that have just swatted the thing around for a while and literally want to just have fun with it, chasing it around. And then I've had cats that have eaten it.
Yeah.
You know, so – John could be the swat around.
Hopefully.
Person.
Yeah.
Which is, it's just, they go out, they meet chicks, they're pretty, they send them over drinks, they flirt a little, and then they go home and beat off. Come over to my shop and beat off.
We have a whole conversation we have to have about that.
It's the only part I don't like about Chris sleeping here. The mandatory jack session.
We got some talking to do about that.
Yeah, but.
Maybe next show.
John?
Yeah.
So, look, and here's the other thing, too. It's easier at 32 to talk yourself into this stuff and to kind of have your mind play, oh, look, the grass is greener and look what's on the other side over there and wouldn't that be cool and all that kind of stuff. It's not. You're just screwing with yourself. You have a kid on the way. Fantasize all you want. Get out of that mode. did remove the option from the table. When you remove the option from the table, it makes things a lot easier. It's just literally not there. You know what I mean? If you're on a diet, remove that casserole from the table. Instead of passing by it all the time,
right.
Just remove it.
That's right.
And don't put yourself into those positions
yes.
where you go,
all married people. With my friends and like hang out till 2.
Yes.
All married people, that should be a rule of thumb. Because, you know, the train starts leaving the station, and that's that. You know what I mean? You don't want the train. Don't go to the train station. It's not, you know, the train doesn't pull in. You can't leave.
Yeah. No, I...
How's that for...
Yeah, there you go. Train. Doing what with the train? Fuck the train. How about go to meeting, man?
That's what I'm saying.
Holidays. The weather. It's bad, man.
It's freezing out here.
You get sick. You get sick days out there. You're home. You're sick. You can't come into work. It's impossible. But business needs to carry on. How do you do it? Well, I'll tell you how. Go to meeting brought to you by Citrix. That's right. You can share the screen. You can work together on documents and spreadsheets and projects. And you do it in real time. Use your webcam. Make your meeting an HD video conference. Start hosting meetings in seconds from your PC, your smartphone, or your tablet. Sign up 30 days free. That's right. A 30-day free trial. No credit card required. Visit gotomeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Use the promo code Adam. That's gotomeeting.com, promo code Adam. All righty. Couple of things. Me and Dr. Drew, the live show, the reunion tour, on sale. Three big shows. Max Pata, Burnt the Midnight Oil. Put them all together. Bakersfield, Santa Barbara, Denver. You can get on iTunes. You can get AdamCarolla.com. You can subscribe via the PayPal button. Put a little wind in the sails of the pirate ship. We bring you a nice, consistent product. And for Christ's sake, show us you care. Also, we got some live shows. Sacramento, that is my podcast.
Why don't we do this one live?
We can do this one live.
Let's go do it.
Crest
August,
Theater.
Up to him.
Talk to August.
All right.
Crest Theater and the Tower Theater, Sacramento and Fresno, coming up Saturday, 7 o'clock, Sunday, 7 o'clock. Check them website-y things. Make sure it's not a doors open at 7 kind of thing. Sometimes there's a little... 7 o'clock Sunday's usually about right. Saturday, sometimes it's a doors open at 7. But check it out. Go to the website. Check the theater. Mangria, by the way, Sacramento, BevMo, Saturday at 5:30. And Fresno, BevMo, Sunday, 5:30. We'll do all that. Come press the flesh. Say hi. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Maxipata, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.